It's Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl. You asked for it, and I've been working on it for over a year. My first print book comes out this week, July 8th. You can buy a copy now wherever fine books are sold. Grammar Girl here. Today's topic is tough apostrophe issues. I said it in the last episode about apostrophes, and I'll say it again. There are some confusing situations when it comes to apostrophes. For example, Christine from Portland, Oregon, Judy from Traverse City, Michigan, Katie from Australia, Christy from Washington, D.C., and Rick from Las Vegas, Nevada, all asked how to make singular words that end in S possessive. I know that this is a raging debate, even at the highest levels of government, because Tracy from Mountain View, California, and a listener named Armand both sent me a funny article describing U.S. Supreme Court squabbles over making the word Kansas possessive. Words such as canvas that end with an S can be stumpers when it comes to apostrophes. Is it Kansas's statute with an apostrophe S, or Kansas's statute with just an apostrophe at the end? Justice Clarence Thomas wrote the majority opinion and prefers to leave off the extra S, referring to Kansas's statute with just an apostrophe at the end. Whereas Justice David Souter wrote the dissenting opinion and prefers the double S of Kansas's statute with an apostrophe before the final S. So who's right? The first clue is that Justice Thomas's name ends with an S, so you might guess that he's more familiar with the issue. Associated Press style also recommends leaving off the extra S. Some of you have noticed that I tend to favor AP style, so you won't be surprised to learn that I prefer to leave off the extra S. Unfortunately, I have to admit that this isn't a hard and fast rule. It's a style issue. Other style books, such as Fowler's Modern English Usage, recommend adding the apostrophe S to almost all singular words that end with S. So our first tough issue, how to make words that end with S possessive, doesn't actually have an answer. It's a style issue, and you can do it either way. I always feel bad when the answer is that there isn't an answer, so here's an easier situation that has a firm rule. If the word ending with S is plural, such as aardvarks, then you just add an apostrophe at the end to make it possessive. For example, you could write, "The aardvark's escape route, S apostrophe, was blocked," to indicate that a family of aardvarks needed to find another way out of danger. Plural words that don't end with S, such as children, do take an apostrophe S at the end for possession. For example, you could write, "Fortunately, the children's room, children, apostrophe S, had a hidden doorway." Here's a tricky issue with a definite answer. How do you make the plural of a single letter, as in, "Mind your P's and Q's"? It's shocking, but you actually use the apostrophe before the S. It looks possessive, but it isn't. The apostrophe is just there to make it clear that you're writing about multiple P's and Q's. The apostrophe is especially important when you're writing about A's, I's, and U's, because without the apostrophe, readers could easily think you're writing the words as, is, and us. Finally, we'll end with another gray area. Brian in Toronto and a listener named Josh asked whether they could use apostrophes to make abbreviations plural. Brian gets irritated when he sees signs advertising CDs for sale with it written CD apostrophe S. Jen wrote in about the same thing, feeling a sense of horror after seeing CDs written with an apostrophe in the New York Times. Although I share Brian and Jen's irritation and hate seeing it written that way, again, I have to admit that it's a style issue, and some books recommend putting in the apostrophe because it indicates that letters are missing. It makes me want to let out a big harumph like Sir Fragalot, but that's the way it is. Believe it or not, there are even more issues we can talk about related to apostrophes, but I'm afraid I'm going to overwhelm everybody, so I'll save them for another day. That's all. In the last episode, I mentioned that I was thinking about doing a video podcast, and there was a revolt. I've never received so much email on one topic. Thank you so much for the input, and don't worry, I have no intention of abandoning the audio podcast. If I did video, it would be a supplemental thing, and with all the comments I got encouraging me not to do it, it's a lot less likely to happen. Thank you also to everyone who voted in the poll about the theme music. About 20% of you hate it, but 50% of you love it. I feel really bad about the people who hate it, but I don't think 20% is enough to justify changing the music. I'm afraid that if I change it, all that would happen is that a different 20% of you would hate it. But please know that I gave your comments and votes serious consideration, and it really wasn't an easy decision to make. So, the book giveaway winners this week are Liz, Jean A., Steve H., Warren from Newberry Park, California, and Kevin from Oakland, California. They all win a copy of Harry Shaw's book, Punctuate It Right. Congratulations, and please check your email for instructions. Thank you for listening. Please send questions and comments to feedback@qdnow.com. Call them in to the voicemail line at 206-338-GIRL or use the free MyChingo tool in the sidebar at the Grammar Girl website at qdnow.com, where you'll also find a transcript of this podcast.